The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Communion today. And welcome to all those who are joining us online at home and maybe on the dial-up service. We're delighted to have you with us as we worship together this morning. Today is the Sunday next before Advent, and as we prepare for the season of Advent, we're going to be thinking a little bit about the kingship of Christ in our service today. And I just wanted to mention a few notices for the week that is to come. You'll see the notices on the slide, and all our normal activities are taking place, including toddlers tomorrow and Boys Brigade, and on Tuesday, the Anchor Boys are meeting. On Wednesday, we have Pilates and the Alpha Course. Thursday, the parish prayer meeting. And a notice that's not on the slides, but for this coming Friday, we're very excited to be resuming for the first time in person our messy church on Friday afternoon between 3:30 and 5:00. And I believe there's just a couple of tickets left. So if you have children or grandchildren, you'd like to come along to messy church, you need to book your space online, and we look forward to have everything being monitored and socially distanced and absolutely rigorously followed through so that everybody stays safe for messy church on Friday afternoon between 3:30 and 5:00. Next Sunday is Advent Sunday, and on Sunday morning we look forward to welcoming James Miles from Christians Against Poverty. In the evening, it's our Advent Carol service, and those who would like to come to the Advent Carol service are asked to book online. We don't normally book online for our evening service, but as it's the Advent Carol service, do please book online, and it's possible to do that from today. As we worship together, we're going to join together to sing our opening hymn, Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning. I think it's Christ. Can I ask from the technology point of view, is it Christ triumphant or is it the Lord is King? Christ triumphant. A little bit of a clash of communication here. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Our service is the service of Holy Communion. And we pray together, Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we respond to God's forgiveness as we stand together to say Gloria in Excelsis. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And our special collect prayer for today. Eternal Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, ascended to the throne of heaven, that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the Church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our first reading.
Our first reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 23, starting at verse 1. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of the morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, starting at verse 33.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own account, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. During the singing of our next hymn, which is "The Lord is King," we're going to be inviting our children to leave us for Sunday school, and we want to pray for them as they go out. We're also asking the congregation again if there are any in the congregation who have experience of Sunday school teaching. We're looking to expand our pool of teachers, and anybody who might like to help us in that way, you might like to speak with me after the service. But we're going to sing now the hymn, "The Lord is King."
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, be with us now as we think about your Son, his kingship, and what this means for us. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Marcus Pontius Pilate was a Roman knight. He was a cavalry officer who pulled some strings and landed a job as governor of Judea, and he was based in the city of Jerusalem. And if I'm ever having a bad day, I think about Pontius Pilate. As governor, he had to exert and really push Rome's influence over the region, and this put him at loggerheads with the local king of the Jews, King Herod, who was by all accounts an absolutely hateful man. Hate-filled man might be more kind of me. I'm apologizing to Herod. At the same time, Pilate had to listen to the complaints of the local Samaritan group of people. You see, they were complaining because the way that he ran his courts was unfair, and he didn't follow judicial practice as was expected. As well as the Samaritans, he had the Jewish temple authorities. He had offended them many, many times by covering the city and the temple with pagan regalia, and he even had pagan imagery on their coins. And then there was the very proud and God-fearing Jewish people themselves, who would rather die than bow the knee to someone like Pilate. As well as all of this, he had family problems. In the way Matthew writes about the conversation between Pilate and Jesus, while Pilate's in the middle of dealing with this very complicated situation, his wife comes in and she says, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man. I've had terrible dreams about him." Now, he's in the middle of running a court, and someone in his family says, "I've had bad dreams about that man. Don't have anything to do with him." I don't know what Pilate was supposed to do with that in the moment. His response, of course, was to bungle the whole case, and he had Jesus executed, which was exactly the complaint that the Samaritans had against Pilate. Pilate himself, not too long after this event, stood trial. He was summoned back to Rome to answer the accusations of the Samaritans, and his life ended when he was forced to take his own life by the emperor. And so whenever I'm having a bad day, I think of him. But to add insult to injury and death, his most famous botch-up is in a creed. We mention him every Sunday as a historical marker. So history has not even allowed him to forget his mistake. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, the real punishment for them should have been to be given middle management positions in the civil service. So on this particular morning, a man called Jesus is shoved in front of Pilate, and he's told by the temple leaders that he has to execute this man. Something about claiming to be a king. Now, when people made claims of kingship or a messiahship, it was very, very risky. It was straight away a challenge to his rule, a challenge to Herod, the kind of thing that would get back to Rome. So Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus responds. "Or did others talk to you about me?" This was not going to be easy. "How should I know?" thinks Pilate. "Am I a Jew?" he replies. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Now again, the judge turning to the prisoner and saying, "What is it you've done?" is not a good start. It shows a complete lack of understanding of what's going on. And Jesus gives a strange answer. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders." So, Jesus is saying that he has a kingdom. He practices kingship, only it's not the kind of kingship that needs the Jews to rise up in arms, But Pilate at this point will take anything. He says, "Ah, you are a king then." Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And here we lose Pilate. "What are you even talking about?" he thinks. And in the next verse that we didn't read, he replies, "What is truth?" And then he goes out to the Jewish leaders and he says, "I find nothing wrong with this man. I have no grounds to execute him." When I was about 10 years old, I spent the day with our cousins who were caravanning not far away from us in Loch Lomond. In the morning, my uncle said, "We're having spaghetti for dinner and we're going to need mince." Now, I looked at him and I thought, "I don't know why you need mince for spaghetti, but there's a bunch of shops around here." And I was a local boy. I thought, "I'll show you where the shops are." And we got in the car, we drove around, and we passed a couple of shops. I really distinctly remember saying to him, "You'll get mince in there." He just drove on. "You'll get mince in there, look." He ignored me, drove on. I was getting confused, irritated. Eventually, he stops outside a butcher's, and he gets out. He says, "I'll get mince in here." And I thought, he's lost his mind. He'll never get mince in there. And he disappeared into the butcher's, came out a short time later with a bag. He got some mince. And I looked at it. Oh, mince. You see, in the caravan, when he'd been talking about going to get mince, first of all, I pictured Polo mince, extra strong mince. Mince. Not mince. And while this drive around was going on, I was getting more and more confused. And it was as if I don't know what's going on. I was completely exasperated. It felt like I was on the outside looking in. Everyone else seemed to know what was going on. Pilate, at this moment, I think felt on the outside looking in. He was exasperated. People talking about kingship, truth, these ideas that were so foreign to him. And he was thinking, what is going on? Sure, things had been relatively okay yesterday for Pilate. Yesterday, he'd not met Jesus. But now he had. And now he had to deal with him. He dealt with him by having him done away with, or so he thought. And it's something we all have to do when we hear about Jesus. We have to decide what we're going to do with him, what we're going to do with the claim that he is king. Not just king of our hearts and nice feelings, but king in a way that is and should be recognizable by our actual governments. And I think this is hardest, this idea of what we're going to do with Jesus, I think this is actually hardest for churchgoers. You know, when you've met someone a load of times and some months or even years have passed and you can't for the life of them remember their name, and it's far too late to ask. You can't ask someone that you've been speaking to for years, "What is your name?" You go on Facebook, you do anything you can to find out. There's a point where you can't go back and start asking the most basic of questions. And I think there may be people, good people, who have been going to church and in churches all over the country, all over the world, and they've been doing it for years. They're very involved in what's going on in the church, but they've never comfortably answered the question, "What am I doing with Jesus? What am I doing with his kingship?" But they think, "Well, do you know what? It's too late for me to start asking now. What are people going to say? What are people going to think?" Jesus said to Pilate that his kingdom was all about truth. Advent is the time we look forward to celebrating the birth of this King of Truth. And now, this time, this Advent, today, is not too late to start asking ourselves what we're going to do about this Jesus. And we owe it to ourselves to be truthful. And if we believe that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God and he is the King, we own it. If we believe that he's not the resurrected Son of God, the King, we own it. If we're not sure, we own it. Now, I'm new here, relatively, but I do know that if you ever want someone to have a quiet chat with you and someone to just come alongside you to speak to, you've got no end of folks in this place that will do that. Alpha runs online. It's coming to a close, but it will run again. That is an amazing time where people who have been church for ages, people who are new to everything, they get together and they just talk. It's a very safe place. And if you were to ask our rector or me if you could have 10, 15 minutes for a coffee and a quiet chat, our answer to you, I think, would be, you had me at coffee. And there would be no fuss, just a time to come alongside. Pilate had so many questions for Jesus, and they actually weren't bad questions at all. Jesus, what is the truth? What is truth? Are you a king? And Advent for us is the perfect time for asking these questions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to be open to you and your Son. Open our eyes, open our hearts, and help us to learn, whoever we are, more of your Son's resurrection and kingship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Heavenly Father, care homes are in the news just now. There are restrictions put on individual homes and individuals in those homes. And there are local lockdowns. And it's so important to protect people in care homes. But there's also such a problem of loneliness and isolation. Please help those governing these issues to have balance and wisdom, and help us as a church to support those homes around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, COVID numbers are high. Whether to be vaccinated or not to be vaccinated is a debate, and people argue about it. Teach us to put the well-being of others before ourselves. And whatever this ends up looking like, help us to be people and help us to be a nation that serves the most vulnerable first. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, this weekend is the Children in Need weekend. We pray for children known to us and those that we've never seen. We pray for those who are in care. We pray for children who are sick and in need of treatment, maybe even treatment that hasn't been found yet. We pray for children who are living with mental health difficulties. We pray for children who are suffering violence or domestic violence. And we pray for children who are living with difference, difference in ability, difference in understanding, disability. We pray for governments of the world, particularly our own, to protect the most vulnerable of children and come alongside their families. Help us as a church to do the same. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, Afghanistan is not in the news just now so much, but it's still there, and it's still a place where people are at risk and vulnerable. And as we pray for children, we bring the children, young people, and women and men to you who live in that place. We ask that that regime be a place that learns mercy and learns justice. And we ask that your will be done. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather all of our prayers together as we share the words of the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We're going to join together to reflect on that theme of Jesus' kingship in our next hymn, Meekness and Majesty.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen." The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And as we prepare to receive Holy Communion, we remind everybody just to remain in your seats as communion will be brought to you in the form of bread only at this time. So we invite you to receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that plenteously bearing the fruit of good works, they may by you be plenteously rewarded. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And we pray together. Almighty God, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Thank you to everyone for joining with us in our service today. And as we remind ourselves of our King as we go out into the week that is in front of us, King Jesus, we will be omitting the asterisk verses for those singing from printed music in our closing hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns.